people to be around. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I met with, I think there were 12 pastors, something like that, from not far from, either in D.C. or just outside of D.C., and then I think there was one from North Carolina and West Virginia. And we met together we're talking about Christian pastors, and we met together with a group of imams, Muslim imams. Can you imagine that? It was really an amazing thing. And we were saying, let's talk about our differences. Let's talk about what we do that's different. Let's talk about what we believe that's different. But let's determine that we're going to seek for peace in our respective communities, both here in the U.S. and around the world. There are pastors now traveling with imams to places around the world where Christians are being persecuted. And the American imams are saying to their counterparts around the world, these are our American pastor friends. They believe in our right to religious freedom, and we're encouraging you to encourage religious freedom for them here in your country. And literally, lives have been saved. Pastors, others, lives have been saved. People that were converting from Islam to Christianity, that were on death row, were set free from death row by these kind of activities. It was absolutely amazing, like nothing I expected would happen. But it's going to be an interesting journey, and I'm going to share more with you, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. Lord willing, I expect to share more of that with you. The reason why I'm not going to do that next Sunday is because many of us call him our spiritual father. Harold Brinkley is going to be with us again. Pastor Harold directs Project Bridges. Many of us know Pastor Harold, but if you don't know him, he hasn't been here for over a year, I think, in ministry. I feel like it's been over a year. He's always here. We're always with him. But he's often here speaking, and it's been such a long time. Many of you are going to be introduced to him for the first time, and he's going to share with us about the focus of the ministry of Project Bridges going forward into next year, about racial and political division in this country and how Christians can lead the way to bring us together. Amen. Come on. Does that not touch your heart right there? Does that not strike a chord deep in your heart? And it's going to be amazing, the ride that we're going to be on. We are so divided. We're fearful of each other, between police officers and others. We know all the things that are going on. And we have to, as a church, take a stand and take a lead. Can you say amen? So God is good. I know the political divide going on, but God's got some people who are... salt and light to the world, to the world. Isn't that what you sang this morning? So let's be some salt, amen? Let's get some saltiness out there. Let's get some light out there in Jesus' name. So we're excited about the next couple of weeks. But we're all also excited about the last couple of weekends and what is going on today. The women have had an amazing weekend. And it's not over, because we have the celebration luncheon after our time of being in the Word and all that we're doing this morning. We have our celebration luncheon with food, you already heard that, and testimonies from our ladies. And then we also have this, what is really a final session of the Women's God Encounter weekend. You remember that last weekend, on Sunday, we came together for our final session of the Men's God Encounter weekend. And we talked at that time what men want. Three things we focus on. Men want a cause worth fighting for. They want to be heroes in that fight. And they want some brothers to fight with. Not to fight against, but to fight alongside, all right? And although sometimes the other happens. But this week, after our weekend of the Women's God Encounter, I want to speak to you about what a woman wants. And if you don't mind, and if you're listening by podcast, I just did the sign of the cross over my heart because I know the topic that we're talking about. Because somebody might say, what does he know about what a woman wants? And why, shouldn't a woman be giving this message?
And maybe he doesn't believe in women preachers. You know, maybe those questions come into your mind. I want to answer, first of all, the last two questions. Should a woman be preaching this message? Probably yes. You could laugh if you want. Does he believe in women preachers? Certainly yes. But the most important question for us to ask is, what does he know about what a woman wants? And that's really the ultimate question that we should be asking when I tackle a topic like this. So I want you to know from the outset, I've chosen two authorities to answer this question. One is the Bible. Am I on safe ground so far? Look into the Bible, because the Bible has answers for men, women, children, you know, all of ages, all the seasons of life. The Bible has something relevant to say to each one of us at any point in time in our life. So that's number one, the authority. The other one is I've consulted the women in my life. I've asked my daughter, I've asked my mom, and ultimately my wife, what does a woman want? And they all said the same things with the same words. In one case, there were a few different words used that were slightly different, but they all meant the same thing. And now I want to bring all the other ladies that I know, I want to bring you all into this topic as well. And I want to ask you, what does a woman want? And here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to think about that question. And what I want you to do is, on the count of three, in unison, I want you to say aloud what a woman wants, okay? Think about it for a second. What does a woman want? On the count of three, say it out loud. This is what a woman wants. Are you ready? Did you think about it? All right. All right. One, two, three. Wow. I might have been able to hear like five responses clearly with all those responses. And I think I heard a couple of different responses. But I heard one that came out that is similar to the things that I'm going to focus on this morning. And the first one is, and you might have been the one to answer this, what a woman wants is love. That's number one. You know, here's what my daughter said. I asked my daughter, what does a woman want? And without hesitation, without any hesitation whatsoever, she just immediately said, love. Like I was kind of almost stupid to ask the question. And then I asked my wife the question. I said, what does a woman want? And again, without hesitation, love. Then I asked my mother. See, I got these, you know, these are significant women in my life. Daughters, wife, of course, mom. Do you know that every dog that I ever had growing up was a female? But I didn't ask any of them. All right? But I asked them, and here's what my mother said. To be loved, to be cared for. Now, the reality is that not all women are loved by a husband. Not all women are married, obviously. Not all women are loved by a husband. Not all women are cared for. Even some, sadly, who are married are not much cared for by their husband. But the Bible talks about their need as well as a married woman's need. And it's the same thing, because when I read the Bible, I see that God provides, if not through a husband, then through some other means to go ahead and meet the greatest need of a woman. In fact, in the Bible, I see that if a woman does not have a husband, she is to be loved and cared for by her family and by the church. Did you know that? Here's what James 1:27 says. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, there's so much in that verse that we could talk about, but we have to, just for discipline's sake, because of the time, just focus on that topic. Just the widow right there. The widow is without, obviously, the love and care of a husband, and so the responsibility on the part of the church is to care for that widow. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16, it says, if any believing woman, and this belief, of course, is the Christian faith. So if any Christian woman, you could say it that way, has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Now, you have to understand the background of this. In the New Testament church, the widows actually often had an official position in the church that was seen as the greatest of importance in the church. Widows were put on the list of widows because they were the ones who were giving themselves not to the care of a family, but to the care of God's family. They were not only just praying for their biological children, they were giving themselves full time to the prayer of God's children in the church and everywhere. And they were recognized as such in the church. And so the church was saying, who is it that cares for those and cherishes those, I would say, who are single for whatever reason? And the answer is a combination of the family and the church needs to make sure that what the way that God created that person is fully responded to. Can all the ladies say amen? All right. Sigi is an example of this. Many of you remember our dear sister Sigi Kokombe from Ethiopia. Lived here so many years. And last year when Sigi went through her journey with cancer that ultimately led in her passing away, entering from this life into heaven, family members were not here. Daughter was not here except for a few days. She gave her daughter instructions, please keep your kids in school. That's my desire. So they stayed there until just the last few days of her life here on this earth. And other family members are back in Ethiopia and scattered around the world. And so it became the responsibility of the church. And it was the church that cared for Sigi. It was the church that took her on a daily basis to her hospital visits and doctor's visits. It was the church that came together along with other neighbors that were around her who knew her well. You see the combination of family and friends there. And they were the ones that were making sure that when she was weak to prepare her own food, that food was being prepared for her. That's the biblical model of making sure that what a woman wants, that love and that being cared for, is taken care of in every way. It's not that a man doesn't need love. It's not that a man doesn't need cared for. If you don't believe that, just ask a married woman, okay? They're very needy men, all right? But the reality is we're talking about the core need of a woman. So let's look at what the Bible says about what women want, what women need. As women and men, we need many of the same things. We need breath, we need relationships, all those things. But we recognize that men and women are different, that we have particular needs that are different. And here's what the Word of God says on this subject. This is Ephesians verse 5, verse number 33. Ephesians 5, if you take notes, I try and repeat it again. Ephesians 5, verse 33. Did I not repeat the others? James 1:27, 2 Timothy 5:16. And then Ephesians 5, verse 33. One more time. James 1:27, 1 Timothy 5:16, Ephesians 5:33. Here's Ephesians 5. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Must love his wife. That means as he loves himself. That means if you want to be cared for, you care for her. If you want to be loved, you love her. If you don't want to be put down, don't put her down. If you don't want to be criticized, don't criticize her. Lift her up. Love her as you would love yourself. So let's do this. Let's watch and listen to what Shondi Feldman, I quoted her last week. This week we're going to watch the video of her statements about this verse that we're at from the Bible. Let's go ahead and watch and listen to this together.
Men need respect. Women need love.
The reason that this issue, starting with the men need respect, this was one of these areas that was so eye-opening for me personally, and really is so eye-opening for so many women, because we have a completely different, as women, we have a completely different primary need in a relationship. We women, we most want to feel loved. We most want to feel that he cherishes us. And, you know, that's kind of what we think is the whole point of the thing, is feeling that he loves us. And it's a huge surprise for most women to find out that if a man had to make a choice that he would hope never to have to make, but if he had to make a choice, he would probably choose to give up feeling that his wife loved him if he could just feel that she respected him.
Okay.
That is a huge difference. And putting it in personal terms, honestly, what that means is for you ladies sitting here, I mean, it is very likely, statistically, that if your man had to make a choice, he'd probably choose to give up feeling that you love him if he could just feel that you respect him and trust him and you believe in him and admire him. And all of those things really do tend to be more important to the average man than feeling that you love him.
Wow.
It's a big difference.
So the flip side then is the women need love.
This is one of these areas that, again, if this is about surprises, you know, that's not a surprise.
Right.
What is a surprise is how easy it is for us as women to not feel loved. And really, what we found is that on the survey, 80% of the women, who secure, confident women, even in great relationships, that underneath that, there's actually this underlying uncertainty that asks the question, you know, does he really love me? And we can go about our day just fine and be totally fine in our relationship. But if something happens to trigger that sense of uncertainty, you know, like we have a conflict or he's withdrawing, you know, because of something, you know, it's like that insecurity is triggered and we start wondering, does he really love me? And the answer really is to realize, guys, that for you as men, if I understand correctly, most of you men, when you get married, it never rises up in your brain to question whether your wife loves you. It just doesn't come up.
I come home every night. I mean,
yeah. You just don't. It's not like, does Sue really love me? Yeah. You know, it just doesn't. It doesn't come up. But that's the thing: is for women, there's no switch in a woman's brain that gets flipped to the now I feel permanently loved position, okay. And that really the answer is truly she just needs to know from your day-to-day choices and words, the little things of life. She just needs to be reassured that you would choose her all over again.
Okay.
And that can really, truly be the little things that do that.
So,
if there are any ladies here today, and there's somebody you wish were here to have heard that, and they're not here, get the podcast, okay? Go online. Make sure that they hear exactly what was just said, because I'm guessing that there are some people that are like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so is not here to hear this. Do you know where this comes from, this verse that she's commenting about? This comes from the Apostle Paul. The fascinating thing about it is Paul was unmarried. And, of course, a man. But he was exactly right. And profoundly right, really. And the question has to be asked, how did he know precisely and profoundly what so many men in this world don't have a clue about? How did this guy kind of get a hold of it? And the only answer can be, God told him. God told him this. God gave him this profundity. God gave him this truth. And God gave it to him so he could write it in the Bible so that we could know it, at least those of us who read the Bible. And I encourage all of us to do that. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the author. And what that lets us know is that God is revealing to us not only who he is, but who we are. God knows us. God knows how he created us. God knows how he made us. He's the designer of men and women. And he's the one who let it be known to us clearly. Women want, women need love. Now, I don't know if you guys ever came across this, but Mel Gibson was in a movie that is called What Women Want. And I have to be honest, when I saw the title, I wanted to watch it. And I watched it on television, and then sometimes later on, I began to watch it by renting the movie, and I immediately stopped watching it on the movie that was rented because I recognized that they had deleted a lot in the TV version, okay? So if you are going to watch this movie, watch the TV version. Don't watch the rented version. Or my wife just discovered this thing, a Christian program, where you could watch a movie and tell what you don't want to be in it, and they'll delete it all out. Okay? It's an amazing thing. So let me tell you about this if you didn't see it, this What Women Want. It's about a man who was electrocuted. And as a result of being electrocuted, he could then read women's thoughts and therefore know what women wanted. Now, if you asked a guy, if I could give you any superpower, and they were to recognize that this was one of the options, I can almost guarantee you that most guys would say, that's the superpower that I want. To be able to understand what a woman is thinking, what she wants, what it is. I dare say that they would pick that every time. So guess what, man? I'm going to give you good news. You have this superpower.
You've been given this superpower. You've been given it by God. You now know from the Word of God what a woman wants. They want love. They need love. They want to be cared for. And in the way that they would care for you, always think about it. Don't only care for them the way that you want to be cared for, because the way you want to be cared for, you just want to be fed, and that's enough, okay? And maybe one other thing, all right? But that's pretty much it, right? But you need to think about what it is that they, how they would express their love, how they would express their care for somebody else, and make sure that that's the way that you're caring for them. So again, Ephesians 5, this time verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and laid down his life for her." And remember this. I want to be clear on this, because that's telling us about women and men in the context of marriage. But remember what I said earlier. Where there's no husband, the family and church need to step up. They need to make sure that all the women are loved and cared for about that. So, all right, if you would, allow me to speak to the men like I did last week, just for a moment, would you? Last week we spoke to men. This week we're speaking to women. And by the way, did you notice how we're doing this in the presence of the other? Like, we want men to have you, us, we men, we want you to hear what we need. It's just, you know, but you also get to give us a chance to hear what you need. So we're in the presence. But let me speak to the men like I did last Sunday. Guys, we said this, and it resonates with us. You want a cause to fight for. You want to be heroes in that fight. You want to have a band of brothers to fight with. Well, guess what? Women also want you to fight. Women also, now of course not against them, but for them. Women also want you to be successful in that fight. Women also want you to have brothers to support you in that fight. They want you to have a cause. They want you to fight for that cause. They want you to be heroes in that fight. Really, at the end of the day, women just want you to get off the couch. At the end of the day, women just want you to get a job. Really, at the end of the day, women just want you to show up at church. And while you're having a job, and while you're getting off the couch, and while you're showing up in church, they want it to be for this reason. They want you to fight for them. They want you to fight for your children. They want you to be pillars in the house of God. Amen. Guys, go ahead, ladies. I know you're starting it. Just go ahead and do it. That was an amen, brothers, from our sisters. They don't want to be here. They don't want to do all this alone. Now let me go back to the women. Men want to know that you believe that they can do this, even at times when you don't see them doing it. They want to believe that you believe that deep down inside of them, there's something that wants to do this. That deep down inside of them, they can do this, even if they're not doing it. You see, you might look and say, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." My husband maybe is not doing that. It might be a challenge for him. But women, be honest. Isn't it also a challenge for you when you hear, "Respect your husbands, respect that man"? It's hard sometimes to do both of those things. But, you know, if we don't give each other those encouragements, then how do we ever get beyond where we are now? You know, last week we had an interesting moment. The men were organizing a Roman phalanx. Do you remember that? I asked the men that were on the God Encounter, "Hey guys, come on up and line up and take up the position of this great army, the Roman army and the Roman phalanx, a defensive and offensive posture that men take shoulder to shoulder in a square." And you know, I don't know if the men didn't understand what I was telling them, but they made a circle instead of a square. Do you remember that? Some of you were here. And it was kind of a funny moment, but a little bit of a tense moment, because there was some laughter, you know, at the guys don't like to be laughed at, but we're laughable. We're honest about it, but we don't like it, you know? And then there were even some instructions. "Get it right, dudes. That's a circle. You're supposed to do a square, you know? Didn't you hear the instructions?" And it weren't exactly like that, but I just want to say this. How do you do this thing? How do you celebrate your man when he's called to make a Roman phalanx, to be in the posture of that, and he's just not getting it right. Here's what you do. Don't celebrate how he's doing it. Just celebrate that deep down inside he wants to do it. Celebrate if he moves from just wanting to do it, that he's actually doing it. He'll get it right eventually. With your encouragement, with your prayers, believe me, God is able to get that man where God wants that man to go. So if he's thinking about it, encourage that. If he's doing it, certainly encourage that. At the end of the day, by your grace, by God's grace, by his inner desires as a man, he'll get it right. Watch what happens. That Roman phalanx is going to get it together, and it's going to work. Can you say amen, ladies? And so women and men, now I can say this to you. Remember, if no husband, no family, no church, care for each other, love one another. So that's number one. Women want love, but that's not all that women want. Women also want to give love. Women need to give what they most want to receive, and that's love. It's not just enough for a woman to receive love. It's wired in a woman to give love. They're not satisfied unless they're not only receiving, but they're also giving. They want to love others. No contentment without being cared for as well as being able to care for others. That's the way they're wired. Women are wired to love and to care for others. Now, in this day, women are having more success professionally than ever before. There are more opportunities for women to put their minds and talents to work than in times past. And that's, of course, good. We celebrate that. It's freedom. It's giving an opportunity. It's equality and all of those things. And all of those things are biblical and beautiful in God's sight. But even with all of those God-given opportunities, it doesn't make women fundamentally different than how they have always been. For instance, I know women who are highly successful professionally, and yet still they often desire to get married and to have children. Now, maybe it's not expressed exactly in those ways, but I know that every woman has this great desire, no matter what they accomplish in the workforce or in politics or education or et cetera, no matter what professional achievements that they experience, there's still a desire to be loved, a desire to be cared for, and to love and care for others. Women want to be loved, but they also want to love. So the question we must say is, no matter what the status of a woman, whether married or unmarried, what is the expression of this desire to be loved? What is this expression? What does it look like in the desire to love? And the obvious expression is within marriage. It's the desire to be married. It's the desire to bear and raise children. But there are other expressions. And I want to give you two examples of these. First of all, about our friend Sarah Lovejoy. And then about a woman named Lillian Trasher. Sarah Lovejoy, we knew her when she was just a freshman in college. We knew her through her college years and just after that. We knew her before she came to know Jesus, and we were there at the moment she came to Jesus, how her life changed, and we saw her first steps in her walk with Jesus. And we watched this beautiful thing, and we learned about her that her greatest dream since she was a little girl, all through college, and even as a college graduate, her greatest dream was to be married and to have children. She did get married to a young man who also came to faith on that same college campus. And today, 25 years or so later, they're now campus pastors, and they've been there for all that time ministering to students on that campus. And so her dreams have come true to get married, to be in ministry. But for a while, her greatest dream to have children was crushed. Because in just her mid-20s, she was diagnosed with a disease that let her know that she would never in her life be able to physically have biological children. Never in her life. The greatest dream that she had was gone. But we know how the story continued from there. We know how Sarah prayed for healing, not only physical healing, but mental and emotional healing on the inside. And we know how the Lord began to let her know that the circumstances that she went through in life were not caused by him, but were a part of his plan to bring her into a place that she would never have gone if she had had a biological children. And that was through the beauty of adoption. Right now, Sarah and Eric have adopted seven children from the UK and the US, a mixture of the two. They've adopted seven children who had no mom, who had no dad, who were separated from their family. And when you talked to Sarah, I remember a few years in, I think it was about child number four. She says, you know, this wasn't my plan for my life, but I recognize that it was God's plan for my life. And she said, it's much greater than the plan that I had, because not only did I discover what having children is like, but I discovered what adoption is like. I discovered what it's like to provide for those that don't have something that they desperately need. She says, you know, there are times in my life that I actually feel bad for women who only give birth, only have biological children, because they're missing out on this whole other aspect of motherhood, of bringing into your home those who are not in your home, who have no home. She says, I actually feel like the others are being deprived of this experience. Can you imagine what God can do? This is what happens when somebody says, God, you're my father, you're sovereign. I give my life to you. My plans are in your hand, because at the end of the day, you have greater plans for me. So here's a woman who was unable to give birth. She could not express that desire to love and care for others as far as biological children, and yet the Lord met her need to the core of her being. The other example is Lillian Trasher. Lillian Trasher was engaged to be married somewhere back in the 20s or 30s of the last century, and I don't remember exactly when it was. But God called her to be a missionary. And she went and told her fiance that she was called to be a missionary. And he said, I'm not called to be a missionary. If you go, you'll have to go without me. And without him, she went. This woman who had such a desire to be married and have children of her own became not just Lillian Trasher, but Mother Lillian Trasher to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Egyptian orphans who didn't have parents of their own. She lived in Cairo all of her life after that and became a mother, not to two, not to three or four or five, became mother to hundreds of people who became leaders in Egypt still to this day. Including Winnie, who is here today, whose father is an example of that, and Joseph Assad and others. In fact, Joseph Assad, his father was an orphan that was there in that orphanage, and he became the leader of the whole Assemblies of God missions movement throughout Egypt. You see, when God puts something in you, he's going to provide for you a way to express what he put in you. It might not be conventional. It might not look like somebody else. It might not be what you even yourself expected for yourself, but God knows the way that he made you. He put those instincts within you, those desires within you, and he's going to fulfill the desire of your heart. Can you say amen? Amen. Lastly, women want to be loved. They want to love, but they don't want to be alone in that. They want to share their experience with other women. They need to do these things together. Have you ever noticed that for the most part, women hardly ever go to the restroom alone? Have you ever noticed that? It's like they go in tribes. They go in groups. They go in pairs. A guy will never understand that. Why are you going to the restroom with others? It's not another experience. That's not a together experience. But the reality is that's the way that God made women. And the good news is, women, you can share all of this with other women. All that we're talking about, loving and being loved, caring for others, being cared for, all of this you can share with others. And I believe, incidentally, that this is a woman that a trait that women can share, hold in common with men. Their desire to be, their need to be together. In your case, women, it's the desire to be with other women. In men's case, it's the desire that we talked about last week to be with other men. And I'll talk in a moment about how and when we can be together. But first, another trait you have to share with men is this. Women, I'm going to talk to you about how you can share the trait with men to be a fighter. Come on. Yeah. We got some Deborahs in this house right now. If you guys know the story of Deborah, Deborah was a fighter when the men were checked out. She became